Welcome to LOA Today. I'm Walt Thiessen.
I've been doing this podcast since September of 2012, and boy, are my lips tired.
This is your daily dose of happy. We are so happy you decided to join us today.
And in fact, we're also happy because our friend Dan Mangana was able to drop in, which kind of I wasn't sure about today, because you got a big event of your own coming up in about an hour, Daniel, so I thought you might be wrapped up in that.
No, but I'm coming to hang, do the thing.
You're coming to hang? And okay.
Then, and then I'm going to start off, so there we go.
All right. Yeah, well, that's fair enough. So, hey, we're glad you can make it. Sandy's going to be along sometime soon during the show. I don't know exactly when. She's dealing with some stuff, but she's going to be here.
I'm still not used to it. Well, I'm still not used to it. I'm still not used to it.
Instead of Alex King, yeah, I know. It takes a bit.
Yeah.
We're getting there, though. You know, one step at a time.
One step at a time.
And we got our friend David Strickle joining us today.
Are you both? Head. I haven't seen either of you in ages.
Yes, right.
Or maybe a few days.
Well, I could be an age or two. Yeah.
We're very involved in each other's worlds these days, and that's a good thing.
Yes. Yes.
Very good.
Yes.
No doubt about it. So, David, you got to catch people up because they've been hearing vicariously through us stuff that's going on in the tire world. But give us a little, just like a little update. What's been going on lately? You were giving me some update before the show, but do it during the show.
Yeah. Our newest set, we have a brand new masterclass that's out. So I'll plug that at the end. Really cool masterclass. And we got it down to 53 minutes, so you can consume the whole thing in less than an hour, which is unusual for us because our masterclasses are usually like 2 hours. So we have that going on. And so you can watch that and take that masterclass for free. So I'll tell you about that at the end. And we've expanded Bootcamp. As you know, we've added some new things to it and some new tools and things like that. And we've changed the name of our mastery program, and Dan is a member of it and probably doesn't even know this. It's called the Taya Mastermind.
Yeah, I saw there was a change.
I changed the name. I didn't tell anybody. I thought I'd just go see if any of my mastermind people noticed that we changed the name.
I noticed. Why is the mind in it? It should be Master Spirit.
Yes. Beyond the Mastermind.
Exactly.
Beyond the Mastermind. The Master Collective Consciousness.
Exactly. Master Consciousness.
Yeah, what a crazy group we are, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I describe the Taya Mastery folks as the Taya geeks, the people that are really geeking out in the practice. just take it out to the leading edge of insanity, which is what we love to do.
Yeah.
And then the stuff that's useful, we try to share with everybody else.
Yeah. What we half work out sort of is worth looking at and not getting lost in. We share with everyone else. Yeah.
Exactly. So that's the thing. That and I was telling Walt that I've spent 4 years writing the Taya book, and now we're going to spend probably another 4 years getting it published, but working on pitching it to editors and agents. So if there's any literary agents out there that specialize in spiritual literature, I would love to pitch a book to you.
Absolutely.
Make yourself known.
and like you said, this is a book that's been worked on for 4 years. You and Kat's been doing a lot of the heavy lifting on that too, I know. So it's been a collaborative effort.
Oh yeah, Kat and I wrote it together. So I wrote my first book and she edited it. And then we published that book in 2018. And then we started writing this book together in 2018. So that's how long it took us to get it all done. But we also needed to develop the practice. It's rooted in universal law, but it's a very modern, up-to-date practice because we're always expanding it and creating it. And it took 4 years of teaching it to other people all over the world to get it to the place where we're ready to really share it with the world now.
Sure, because you have to collect the data. If you're going to present the results, you got to have the data first.
So yeah, well, that's the cool thing about it. There's a lot of data in the book. There's a lot of testimonials and just a lot of, these things are all proven in boot camp. Mm-hmm. They're proven to work in boot camp. We would never share something and just say, here's a cool idea. See if this works. You know, it's always about let's work on it. Let's see it show up in our lives. And then once it does, we know that it works. We go from there.
Exactly. Well, speaking from my own experience, I'm nearing the end of my boot camp experience and it's been really worthwhile, very useful. It's also been great for me in that I've got to meet some of my listeners because a number of them have joined as well. So that's been really gratifying. But really worthwhile experience. I just wanted to give you a public shout out. Thank you for offering it and for all that I ended up getting out of it. I mean, it's been very, very valuable. So thank you.
It's been a pleasure having you.
Wanted to talk also a little bit about upcoming stuff. First, I want to talk about what Daniel's got going on in an hour, because it's a pretty cool thing. I also have to tease you a little bit about it, Daniel, because your title suggests a little bit of hammering. I got to ask you about that. But tell people what's coming up in an hour, just so that anybody who's listening to the live stream will be able to know. And I think it's just information that's good information.
Yeah, I'm doing so one of the things that we do in the microtrainings ecosystem is something we call money blocks. And I have a poke around and do some laser coaching and see, you know, what is the present money block for the next step forward and where they're going with their abundance. And it used to be something that we did for the general squad. Now it's only our accelerator members. We do that once a month in a smaller container because we can spend a bit more time. I used to do them as a paid thing, like every now and then, like it would be a paid event that people could come to, but I haven't done that for about maybe a year and a half or something like that. And it was my birthday on Sunday, and the gift that I wanted to kind of give to everyone is, hey, I'll do one. I feel like I haven't done one for the public for a while. So yeah, we're doing a session in just under an hour. As long as people are in my Dream with Dan Facebook group, then they can go to the events tab, see the information. It's going to be live streamed into the group as well. I'm going to be doing an abundance activation live in there as well, and then doing some laser coaching for a few people, and yeah, just gifting people the opportunity to experience it.
Very cool. On behalf of all the LOA Today community, belated happy birthday to you, my friend.
Thank you. Yeah, it's a testing time for my beliefs about abundance, because it's my Russian wife's birthday last week, mine on Sunday, then Ariana, who's six and is having a spa day with all her friends, so that's a really interesting thing, and is understanding a bit more about what desire is, but no concept yet about what desires cost in manifested form. And then Ethan's first birthday, then my nephew's birthday, then Christmas, then New Year's. We just moved house, so it's been a busy time. My birthday's been on the back burner in terms of everything else going on.
Understandable. Yes. Very understandable. You've queued a question in my mind that I want to ask David. I suppose I could ask the stream, but I really want David's perspective on this. Many people that I've talked to here on the show, David, have talked about how each generation that comes through brings more and more knowledge in, because collectively we're picking up more knowledge. And so it kind of gets transmitted, however way you want to describe it, through source, spiritually, whatever, to the next generation. And so I'm wondering what your take is on the degree to which we can learn from the next generation that comes up.
It's an interesting concept, because the stream talks all the time about how we're born up to speed with the time that we project into, and that delivers automatic contrast. I know that's a popular word around here. Contrast in your life, because your parents are always going to be transgressors, because they are born up to speed with their time and you are born up to speed with your time. And so there's an automatic difference in the way that you're going to operate your life. But at the same time, there is wisdom that is passed down. And yes, we're becoming more sophisticated beings all the time, but we're still in a polarized environment. So we see a younger generation, and this is something that I've noticed, coming in with this higher degree of sophistication, not needing the old elements of control that maybe generations, you know, that, like, what are we, I'm Gen X. Think about my parents, the baby boomers. They are so obedient. My father does every single thing every single doctor tells him to do. And I'm not like that. I'm like, dude, you know, go get acupuncture. Maybe not take so many pills. That sort of thing. And the younger generation, they really have stepped away from all of these traditions. They're not in traditional education or career paths or relationships or any of that stuff. But yet they've turned around in polarity and created like a whole new set of problems for themselves in stepping out of all that. And all of these identities and subcultures and all of these things, they're still operating in contrast. So even though we become more sophisticated, we still aren't racing toward perfection. It's just a more sophisticated way of being, but it's still going to, the physical experience is still going to deliver contrast, because that contrast actually has the great purpose of motivating us to create something new, solve something, move through something. So that's always guaranteed, always.
Yeah, very cool. I like that. Very, very cool. Yeah, I, as somebody who came in at the tail end of the baby boomer era, I have to acknowledge that they won't let me into the clubhouse anymore because I refuse to go by, you know, you have to go what the doctor says. We actually had that experience today. Louise went to consult her cardiologist because of she's been dealing with a number of things with a thyroid issue, and the thyroid issue is now resolved as far as we're concerned. Medical science won't say that, but she's been off medication for months now after being told at the beginning that she'd be on medication for the rest of her life. But she also had some AFib that came along with it, and she hasn't had an AFib episode that she's aware of anyway in the last couple of years. So we were there talking to her doctor today to try to convince him that, yeah, it's okay for her to go off of that medication so she can be completely off medications. And he wasn't having it. But it was an interesting exchange because there he was basically in, he's a really good doctor. He really is. I don't want to make it sound like I'm bad-mouthing him or anything like that. He's very, very good. But he's very much in the mold of what the medical establishment as a whole teaches. And you can you can just tell. I mean, I even mentioned to him at one point, we're very much about mindset. I didn't get into a lot of action, but we're very much about mindset. And that, for us, it's very important to feel good about what we're doing every step of the way. And he got it. And I even mentioned placebo and nocebo. He got that, too. But he made the comment that I've heard so often from the medical establishment, which is, you know, placebo, that's great for like pain relief. But pain relief is one thing. Risk factors are another. I've heard that phrase so many times from people within the medical industry. And I keep thinking to myself, I wonder how much of that is a baby boomer phenomenon that has just hung up. He's carrying on over and over and over again. So, no, just food for thought. I thought I'd throw that out there. Hey, Alex, Alex Standy joining us. How you doing there?
Hi.
You made it. We're glad. We're
How happy. Is everyone doing?
We're doing
good.
Good
to see you.
So, let's see. What else did I want to ask about before we brought the stream into the conversation for a few minutes? By the way, we are going to do that. We're going to have a relatively short stream session. If anyone in the live stream has questions, you can start typing them up, and we'll include it in that session. So that'll be coming up relatively shortly. But let's see, there was something else I was going to ask David about, and I don't remember what it was. See, this is what notes are for. you got me actually doing journaling for the first time in my life. I had never done that before. I'm still a little bit resistant to it, but I actually did some. And the act of journaling, I mean, in boot camp, you do it for a much different reason. You're doing it because you're working through stuff. You're trying to get your thoughts out on paper and all that kind of stuff. But it's also reminded me, I really need to get back to taking notes because I forget things. And that's one of the reasons to write stuff
Speaking
down.
Speaking of aging, you know? Right?
Exactly, yeah. So what year did I say this was? Okay, forget that.
I live on reminders and post-its for sure.
Yeah. Well, I was also very pleased to find out that Bridget, who's just now getting ready to graduate from boot camp and is also a co-host here on the show, she likes posting notes everywhere around her house. I don't know if you knew that, David, but like when
she posted in the Facebook group, in the Tire Practice Facebook group, her streamisms and stuff like that. I think that's really cool.
Oh yeah, all over the place. And she, I don't know if you knew, she did her vision board. You have to do a vision board as part of the, one of the modules. She did her vision board on her wall. Her wall.
Oh, wow. So she's got a vision wall.
She's got a vision wall. Yeah.
That's
which is pretty
so
cool.
Dumb.
Yeah, yeah. That'll keep it on your mind, I guess.
No doubt, right? You can't miss that one. You see it every day.
Yeah. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, the visioning part, it's one of the lighter parts of boot camp, and it's the most polarizing part I've discovered over the last 4 years.
Really?
People either love that or hate it.
Oh.
Really? You have to do a vision board? Really? I hate that sort of thing. But, you know, you do it your way, right? There's no one way, so you do it your way.
I know for myself, it was the first time I'd ever actually done one. I mean, I've heard about them for years, and I think I kind of took the poo-poo attitude as well. But, you know, it was part of boot camp, so I said, okay, I'll do a vision board. So I just did one electronically, and I actually use it now. I actually refer to it.
I the last vision board I did, I need to do a new one. The last one I did was years ago, and everything on it came true, including the exact house I lived in Palm Springs. So,
now, see, I like that. That's cool. I mean, yeah. Did you intend that? Would you put that on the house on a – I'm sorry, when you put that house on the board, did you actually hope it was going to be that house, or did you just
it was just a representation of Palm Springs. And okay. The interesting thing was, is that when I put it on the vision board, I didn't really put a lot of conditions around it. So I ended up, when I moved to Palm Springs, I rented a house for the first year. and it was the house that I rented. And it was actually the picture, the people that owned the house that I rented owned the house that was my picture, but the backyard was set up exactly the same with the houses that I was in. So it was crazy that I ended up experiencing the house, even though I never owned the house. And now I don't even care about having all of that stuff that's in that backyard because I experienced it for a year. It was like a park, you know, it was like a fire pit over here and a jacuzzi over there. And it was a vacation rental. And I ended up living in that house for a year, and I had that park-like backyard. Now I kind of like just having like a normal backyard with just a pool and stuff. So it was cool that I experienced it, and it was also cool that I didn't end up owning it.
That's really cool. Yeah, I like that. Daniel, did you do anything similar like that when it came to moving to where you are? I mean, because you live on the ocean in Mexico. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You live basically not anymore because I moved house.
Oh, you moved. I'm up the hill now. Know that.
Oh, yeah, this happened. This happened. Olga wanted a garden, so I'm no longer in the penthouse. I'm in a ground floor corner. A very nice development. Very nice. They've got a clubhouse with a little cafe and this lovely pool and infinity. And there's a kids' pool and a jacuzzi and a massage room. But I miss my house. I miss my house. There was some detuning around this process going on. A lot of detuning. But yeah, I moved. We finished moving. Well, we're unpacking, but yeah, I'm here. I can still see the ocean and such. So,
see, Michael wants to live. My partner wants to live on the ocean. I don't want to live on the ocean. I want to live up on a hill overlooking the ocean. I want to live up like where Oprah does, you know, up in the hills, up in Montecito or something like that, where you can see the ocean. Mm-hmm. Of course, I live out in the desert right now. I want to see it, but I don't want to be right on it because when you live right on the ocean in Southern California, you're dealing with constant traffic and people and, it's not very peaceful. Mm-hmm.
It's so and popular. it's very sandy as well if you're on the ground floor. Very sandy. Yeah. No, thanks.
Very true. Yeah. So you'll find appreciation in your new manifestation, I'm sure.
It took me a couple of days. To get over my bitterness. And then I was like, oh, hang on. This is really nice. It's much more quiet.
Mm.
There's more holiday renters there than full-time people that live in this development. I've got the same view. It's just everything looks a bit small because it's a bit further up the hill. But that's about it.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess my original question was, is this something that you ever envisioned? Did you go for where you were living right now and find that this is what you would put on a vision board or something along that line?
So what happened was, okay, the beach that I lived on when I first moved here, the image of me walking down it was from a picture that I got. It matched perfectly a picture that was in my mind movie because I did a mind movie when I did this part of the boot camp because I prefer mind movies to vision boards. It's just a movie vision board. Sure. And there's a scene of the beach that I was walking on. It's like, oh my gosh, this is like the same as the beach in my mind movie. So I did have some stuff, but it wasn't like, this is where I'm going to live and I'm passionate about this because I'm not really that fussed about that. So it's not something that I want to manifest this about as long as I'm happy, I'm happy. Cool.
Well, based on what you just said, it sounds like your mind movie was making it clear. It wasn't the house. It was the beach.
Yeah, it was the beach. It was the chill. It was the feeling. I mean, for me,
it was the vibe.
It's the vibe. That's what's important. The emotional state, the emotion, the experience. That's what the most important thing is. And I get that. I mean, guys, I came for 3 days and didn't leave. So. The vibe definitely. The vibe was definitely.
That's called trusting your abundance, right?
That's right. Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
Well, you're not fearing. Why not just take a chance on something, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I just come off the heels of my surrender experiment. I did a 3-month-long surrender experiment, and I'd had this beautiful experience of just learning to trust the divine, learn to trust spirit, and to say yes to things. And I ended up in a pretty darn cool place. So there we go.
Can't argue with that, man. Oof, really good.
Trust is everything.
Yeah.
Now, Alex, of course, has gone through a different variation of trust because she's now a married lady. We were actually talking, Alex, Daniel and I, before that he's not used to this idea of an Alex Standee. And I have to admit, I have to remind myself.
It's new. It's new for everybody.
It is. And I think you said that you were actually formalizing it today, doing the paperwork and so forth, right?
Yep. I passed in my marriage license and got my name changed.
All right. So there you go. Good stuff. And I presume everything's okay, like, you know, 2 months later. It's not like the whole thing's falling apart, right?
No, we're good.
Wow, just dig right in, Walt. That's another byproduct of being fearless.
This is true.
How's that marriage 2 months in? Is it still holding together?
Right?
I'll tell you, after Louise and I got married, actually the day we got married, during the reception, I overheard, no, Louise actually overheard somebody on the way to the ladies saying, "No, this marriage won't last 2 weeks." Of course, it's lasted 22 years. But to me, that's just part of getting married. You have people who express doubts. So I figured, hey, you probably hadn't heard any doubts. So I thought I'd throw some doubts in just to see what would happen. And I knew you'd come through.
I have not heard doubts. Kevin said I paused, but let me tell you why I paused. I paused because there's a delay on my end. So
that'll do it. Yes. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
You usually are not terribly
audacious.
Slow down. Slow down. Because, I mean, if I ask you a question and bang, you have an answer. If you pause for more than 3 seconds, I know there's something wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. My internet's been wonky all week ever since that Amazon shutdown.
Yeah. So we'll just blame
Amazon shut down.
Yeah, for like a whole day. The Amazon didn't work, and everything they're in control of didn't work. So like Venmo didn't work. A bunch of other stuff. I forget what else it was. It was like
the Facebook. I was going to say I'm trying to think of one day that I haven't bought something from Amazon. What day was
it? It was either Monday or Tuesday. No, it was definitely Tuesday.
Wow.
It just shows how much we've come to depend on these mega online sources that, you know, we notice when they're down. It's like a major news.
Oh, my God. Yep.
Yeah. Well, there's barely a day you buy on Amazon for something, you know.
That's true. That's very true.
I have to share something. Well, this is a really cool. Alex is providing a very cool manifestation for me because I haven't really been into the color purple, not the movie, but the color purple. I haven't been into that in a long time. And lately I'm really rediscovering this passion for purple. And it started out with, I wanted this pot, this Le Creuset pot, but I only want it in this color called fig, which is this beautiful purple, and it's back ordered for like years. And so I had a friend here that was on the phone with the rep and all this stuff trying to get me this pot, this color. Now it keeps showing up. The interior designer that's doing part of our house was saying, well, have you ever thought about aubergine, which is like a purple? And I'm like, no, it's beautiful. Mm-hmm. We should do that. And I keep seeing it show up everywhere. And earlier today, I opened Facebook and my friend Paula Kid Casey that has the Lawyer of Attraction podcast. Mm-hmm. She had a post on Facebook and she's wearing this gorgeous purple sweater and she's in this purple room. And I'm like, oh, purple showing up again. And then when you pop on, I'm like, there's more purple. Oh my God. I'm seeing purple everywhere.
You should see photos of her wedding. I'm telling you, it was a purple themed wedding. Everything was purple. It was great.
Is that a perennial favorite color of yours, Alex?
Yes, it is.
Wow. That's cool because I love color in general. Even though I'm sitting here in all gray and, this purple thing is like coming on strong for me lately. I really want more purple in the house and stuff like that.
Nice. I highly suggest a purple shirt. Do it for yourself.
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, like I said, I'm always like gray and black on camera, but I do love color, especially in art.
I can see purple, especially with the background that you have there. I can see a purple, like splashing color on that. That'd be cool.
Yeah, my background's about to change.
About to change?
Yeah. It'll be all different. All this is going to be different. We ordered all new stuff for back there.
Ooh.
And there's no purple.
Well, you're going to have to work on that.
There's rust, but there's no purple. I wanted some purple, but we didn't find anything that I liked that was purple.
Oh, okay. Well,
rust and gold.
We'll give you
more stuff back there. Yeah. We'll see.
Well, tell you what, why don't we do a very quick stream session? We won't go very long on it, but just because it's always fun to talk to the stream while you're here. And if anybody has any questions from the live stream, be sure to put them into the chat and we will give you the opportunity to, we'll share your question directly. I among other things, I want to actually thank the stream. So this is why I want to do a stream session.
Cool. So
while you're connecting in. Oh, yes. And, we also have a guest coming tomorrow. I want to tell you about while David's making the connection. Andrew Kaplan is going to be joining us on the show tomorrow. So you want to check in on that one because, Andrew is going to be one of the many who are going to be involved in the January project that is still under development. And no, I don't have the dates yet. looking like the third week of January, but I will give you the first info as soon as it comes available. So let's see. It looks like David's making his connection.
We are here.
And we are welcoming you, Stream. I wanted to make sure that we included you in the podcast today, in part because I wanted to thank you. David invited me, of course, to be part of the Taiya Boot Camp, and I was very glad to be a part of it. That all kicked off with the session that you did. And, of course, the course itself, all the modules and so forth, have come from you. So I didn't want to miss this opportunity to publicly say thank you for all that you've done, not only for me, but also the other people who've been through boot camp, and for those who are about to go through boot camp and those who are going to come down the road and do the boot camp, because it's been a very valuable experience. So that's my main purpose, is to say thank you. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
We deliver those teachings, and we continue to deliver them everywhere. And those of you that choose to get into the immersive experience that is boot camp are more or less getting it into a funnel, if you will. And we often say that coming out the other side of that funnel opens up a whole new world of possibilities, simply because it is so dramatic in changing the way that you operate. You are stepping out of a human created matrix, but we are here to deliver those teachings to all far and wide. Regardless of whether you ever choose the bootcamp journey or not, we are here for all of humanity that is aligned with it.
And that's a very valuable point to make too, because ultimately the purpose of bootcamp is to provide a central place to make all this happen and to make it possible for a whole bunch of people to be involved at the same point in time. But by the same token, it's really valuable that you're wanting to reach out and offer it to everybody. And I know that is part of the whole entire program as it's structured. It's not just a boot camp, because there are the various groups and so forth, all the different ways that David's team reaches out to the world at large and keeps offering, and people keep accepting, and it's a good thing. So that aspect is very important too. So thanks for bringing that up. One other thing I wanted to ask you about too, which is, I guess it's kind of tied into what my own experience was going through boot camp. But when you were putting the program together, when you were basically, when David was channeling it from you and receiving it and putting it on paper and putting it on video and that sort of thing, were you thinking about humanity as a whole? Were you thinking about individual humans, or are you just thinking about how expansion works? I mean, how do you think about it when you're putting the program out?
Our process is not one of thought. The focus is always what you are asking and drawing out. But when you speak in terms of thinking on a singular topic, our consciousness does not operate that way. But we very much understand what your question is, and the spirit behind boot camp, and the reason that David was guided by us and by his own instincts to put that together that way, was for all of humanity ultimately. And the thinking is, and this is why it has worked so well for people from all walks of life. You have come to understand now that there are people from multiple continents that have gone through this program of all ages. You have people in their 20s all the way into people into their 70s. There was one that just graduated this week who was over 70 looking forward to her new life. Mm-hmm. And that is absolutely possible. This is a program that absolutely works for any human being as long as you give it power. Because you are the ultimate power, each and every one of you individually, you have the power to create your own bubble of reality through your belief system. So what is offered in that is a belief system that operates in harmony with universal law. So that certainly is for all of humanity, because humanity has created this brilliant matrix that has brought you to this place where you are. But you are coming to understand, like never before for humanity, that you do not need all of these encumbrances any longer. That all of the traditions and the elements of control that you have in place, that there is no judgment from us around any of that. But you are becoming more sophisticated versions of you. And in becoming a more sophisticated version of the collective consciousness that is humanity, you are coming around to the understanding that your elements of control are no longer needed the way they once were. But you're still going to be in a contrasting environment. You're still going to have obstacles to overcome. But the time is coming for all of you to set aside all of those old belief systems that you are all coming to understand no longer serve you, and developing new belief systems that you understand do serve you. And all of that comes down to trust, as you have already discussed in this interaction. The term trust, regardless of the language, the term trust is, however that is expressed, that is perhaps the most important idea that humanity can hold on to at this point or grab hold of. Because when you trust the universe to deliver abundance and align with that through that trust, abundance is going to be guaranteed, because abundance is your natural state of being. Even though inevitably in this polarized environment, you are going to create separations for yourselves that separate you from abundance. But abundance is always flowing, and it's your natural state of being. You are the ones that are doing the separation from it. But when you start to learn to work in harmony with universal law and start to deeply, authentically, and even instantaneously appreciate your spinouts, your transgressors, your obstacles, however you wish to describe those unwanted elements that you all create for yourselves, when you find the appreciation for them, you then see the great value that's offered in them. You see the nuggets of wisdom and new clarity that are available down there, if you will. And when you come to appreciate all of that and trust through the entire process of vibrational flow, trusting when you're up your spiral and trusting when you're down, and you all possess the ability to do that. And in fact, you have learned that. And when you trust when you're down and you appreciate when you're down, the down period takes on a whole new meaning. It is no longer traumatic or painful. You come to understand that all of your trauma, all of your pain, all of your suffering is created via your judgment. And when you release that judgment of the experience and allow whatever it is to just be that, to just be an experience, then your life transforms.
No, that's very true, too, because anyone who's gone through the entire boot camp program, and I'm nearly through it myself, recognizes that's exactly what the experience is, that you come through with you, it feels differently. Life feels different. Everything feels different. I mean, in my own experience, I feel like I'm just a lighter human being. And that's without even detailing in any ways all the practical ways that I've found improved. But just the feeling is a very much lighter feeling. So yeah, it's transformative. There's no doubt. I do want to mention, I'm not seeing a whole lot yet in the way of questions in the live stream. I'm seeing people commenting. Hello, Gregory. Hello, Kevin, Denise, and Sherilyn, and Vishnan, and you know, all of you. Feel free. Anybody who wants to put in a question, If I don't see questions soon, we'll be cutting this off. So if you got a question, put it in right away. I'll also go to Alex and Daniel in case you guys got anything. If you have anything that you want to ask about, you know, put a hand up. Glad to include that as well. I will ask one more question just to give you guys some time to think about it. And I guess my question is, what is it that you hope Stream is going to be the biggest takeaway, that people are going to benefit the most from studying these teachings that you've been presenting and offering first to the TAIA program and then to humanity as a whole?
Whatever takeaway that humanity creates from all this will be a manifestation in perfection. We are all about the perfection of imperfection. So there is no desired outcome from our perspective for this. The reason that we are flowing the way that we are through David is because of your collective asking. You are becoming, as we have stated, more sophisticated versions of humanity, meaning that you have come on this journey of understanding that you create your own reality. And moving through that understanding of how you create your own reality, or just the fact that you do, has caused the asking that has summoned this information. And in the summoning of this information, understand that the timing of the summoning and the level of sophistication that humanity has created for itself, that is what is summoning all of this. That wanting a deeper understanding, innately understanding that yes, you indeed create your own realities, But then having that big question of why in the world, if you create your own realities, would you create unwanted things? We are here to deliver clarity on just that, on why the things that you consider negative or unwanted or even evil exist. And in shedding light on that for all of you, and you're gaining clarity around all of that, you lighten yourselves, if you will. You are feeling lighter. You are feeling more joyful. Your default vibration is higher, and it continues to go higher and higher and higher and higher. The more you dig into trust, the more you dig into just allowing whatever's next to flow and appreciating whatever that creation is without judgment. Notice how that is so in opposition of how you were taught to operate your lives. You are taught to demonize all of the things that you do not want. You are taught to label and to judge. And notice that the more focus that you place on these things as being bad or evil or unwanted, the more they tend to stick around.
Exactly. So right.
The key to solving any transgressor is to love it, to appreciate it, to find understanding and understand that what you are seeing across humanity is this splintering effect of this ascension that is happening. You see more and more and more that are moving toward what you might call an awakening experience, wanting to open their minds up, wanting to explore this big tent that you call spirituality, while others are doubling down on polarity, needing to be right, wanting to argue, wanting to take sides, wanting to be very, very exacting and very, very black and white in their thinking. But notice that your world is not about black and white at all. There are no facts. Facts are ever changing. They're evolving. Science is evolving. Every aspect that you believe is a concrete truth is a created truth in a bubble of reality. And the good news about that is that you have far more power over changing your life experience than you have ever had before with these teachings and these tools.
All right, this is cool. First of all, that was great. I love that. Second of all, Vishan says he has a question. You know, so put it into the chat. Vishan will be able to ask it. And I think the dike has broken here because Stacy and Marilyn have jumped in. First of all, Coach Stacy from Taya. She's the head coach of Stacy. So welcome, Stacy. She's got a really interesting question. She says, why are the holidays so hard for humans, even though we are here to enjoy?
Because you place such pressure on the whole experience. This whole creative bubble of reality of what the meaning of the holidays are, understand that they're all human created events to begin with. Mm-hmm. And you place such pressure on what you're supposed to experience. And many of you had childhood experiences around the holidays that were crafted by your parents. And you were created this bubble of reality that was magical and whimsical. And it was all about abundance and experiences and interactions and all the things that you love that you are all capable of experiencing all the time. But they are contained into this brief period every year. And therefore, all this pressure is placed upon that. And with all of this pressure placed upon it and with an expectation of maintaining that childhood magic without that childhood belief system, there are universal flaws in that thinking, if you will. That you are going to move into a more black and white 3D belief system as an adult, yet you're still going to be able to dial up all of the magic of a very open-minded, childlike mode of thought. So you are setting yourselves up for failure when you place the pressure on the experience, wanting it to always be the same in an ever-shifting vibrational environment. Expecting things to be the way they were when you were young or a few years ago or when XYZ was going on in your experience and wanting to hold on to that instead of moving through whatever experience you're in and allowing the new experiences to unfold. And without the comparison of what the Hallmark channel tells you you're supposed to be experiencing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. No doubt about that. Very good. Okay, let's go to Marilyn's question. She says, I'd like to know why someone would create a brain disorder and go from physical health to decline in speech and mobility.
Understand that the entire concept of disorder means that being has stepped out of the expected matrix. That being is having an experience that is not fitting into the matrix any longer. And any suffering that being is experiencing is their judgment of that experience as being negative. But very often you are creating these experiences for yourselves because there is something available in that journey. Whether you discover that or not in the journey is completely up to you. You are creating an experience for yourself in every single thing that you are manifesting, and you are manifesting all of it. So the things that are labeled externally as disorders or wrong or no longer being able to communicate, very often those things are not happening just on a whim. Those things have momentum that build to that sort of a manifestation. And in that experience, your soul is joyful. In that experience, your soul is reveling in this human contrast. But the human version of you is operating in the matrix, perhaps, and judging your experience, or more times than not, the other beings that care for that individual or that are observing it are doing most of the judging. And therefore not wanting that one to have their label of suffering. Oh, it is so sad that they are no longer able to do X, Y, Z. But notice that you have contrast on that topic as well, because about half of the time, because of the polarized environment, you're going to notice the ones that are having the experience being more at peace than the ones around them. And the other half of the time, you're going to see the direct opposite of that. You're going to see one that is struggling with it and challenging, at least for a while. So what you're seeing is this myriad of experiences that humanity creates for itself, and from your eternal state of consciousness, which is your, what you may consider your higher selves or your souls, you understand that everything and anything that you experience in the earth environment is just a little bubble of experience. Anything, anything. But from your 3D human perspective, we understand how easy it is for you to observe something and want to know why in the world one would experience something like that. But the troubling experiences, the contrasting experiences, the things that cause you to go down your spiral that really cause you to challenge or struggle, those things have so many gifts that humanity has not even begun to claim awareness of. There are so many gifts in these challenges. And think about the challenges that you've all had in your lives, and think about how you've become more sophisticated versions of you, your 3D human persona, because you've experienced these things. Now multiply that times 1,000, 100,000, 1,000,000, and you will come to understand how your life journey is making your eternal consciousness a more sophisticated version of itself. That's why you come to contrast. That's why you move through vibrational flow, and that is why you manifest unwanted things. But there are gifts in these unwanted things. And the crux of our teachings, of the major crux of our offerings, is that these unwanted things are the very things that drive you to higher levels of sophistication. And the sooner you come to that appreciation in your physical journey, the sooner you will come to find joy in them. The only reason you are not finding joy in them because you are told that it's wrong, or bad, or unwanted, or that you're a victim of it. Change your thinking and change your experience.
Wow. That was brilliant. I almost don't even want to leave that point, but I have to, because I have other questions from the audience. So this comes from Vishan. Vishan says, hi, what is the link between Indian culture and the stream's message? I notice you end by saying namaste sometimes.
There are different human terms that are offered that are mostly David's vocabulary. There are certainly things being expressed that are not within David's vocabulary, and he is choosing the best word to describe what is being offered. So when you hear things of that nature, you can associate it with other things. And if that rings true for you, you're absolutely right. But there is no geographic space that is tied to our message whatsoever. We are beyond Earth. We are the creator of all that is, but we are being expressed through a human being in a singular language.
Wow. Really good. Really good. And I'm seeing some really interesting comments too in the live stream, including Stacy saying, I'm eager to adopt my childlike wonder of the holidays again. Done. And she's got a smiley face. That's cool. I think I'm going to, have one final question that I want to ask you about, because it kind of came up through the Taya bootcamp situation, but specifically it came through Taya Mastery. We heard about it in bootcamp. But I'm just curious for a little more explanation about it. The topic was David came in at one point and mentioned to us that there was this big stream session where everybody in Mastery was blown away by the stream saying that appreciation is a higher vibration than love, and that they were still unpacking it. There was a whole lot to be learned out of it. But I was just wondering if you just take a moment to talk to us directly, stream, about that concept, the idea that appreciation actually vibrates at a higher rate than love does.
Of course, this depends on how you define these things and how you use these words. We understand that for many of you, the concept of pure unconditional love, there is nothing higher than that in your experience. With that said, think about all of the conditions that are placed around love and all of the pressure that is placed on the concept of love. And then think about how little conditions and how little pressure is placed on the concept of simple appreciation. You can appreciate anything, whether you love it or not, but you cannot love all things.
My brain is working on that one right now as you're saying that. That is very, very cool. All right. Well, I'm not seeing any of the questions in the live stream, so I'm going to let David separate from the stream. But stream, thank you very much for your time here. Very much appreciated.
Wow. That is what we have.
Oof, that was, wow. Rapt attention while the stream was talking there.
I'm glad I got to catch it. I'm going to nobble off. But David, you might want to watch the replay of that one. Definitely worth checking out.
Second to last one was, oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. That one's going to require a few plays to work through. That was
I'm very buzzy, so that was good shit. This is my version of good shit.
Okay.
It's like,
I'm out on that profanity.
Good luck with your event, Daniel.
Dan, you got to listen to our latest podcast. So if you're embarrassed by that, don't listen to it.
Oh, my God.
Our latest podcast is the stream on sex. And I think it's going out this week. It's Quantum Sexuality. And I decided to go into our vast community, and I found someone who identifies, or I don't know if they identify, I shouldn't say this, someone who is very, very, very into all types of asexuality mm-hmm. and all these variations of asexuality. And then I went to our other end of the spectrum of the most sexually free person I've ever met in my life. And they're both on the podcast, and Matt's on it too. And Matt's kind of somewhere in the middle of all of that. And it's one of those that we set an intention to start on the asexual spectrum and work our way over. And it's good that we did, because it got really deep. But I have to say, I don't often get big ahas from the stream anymore. There was a couple of things in there. And again, if you're triggered by sex, don't listen to it.
Yeah.
But if you're really, 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 really open-minded and really curious, then check this out, because I had some ahas in that interaction. It was like, oh my God, I would have never thought about that way. And it's such a taboo topic, but it makes perfect sense. So yeah, that was a really cool one.
I can imagine who the second person is. I'm not sure who the first one is, but you've got my attention now. I'm kind of intrigued by it. So
yeah, check it out. It was a cool experience.
Yeah, very cool. Alex, you were kind of sitting there. I mean, when the stream was talking, I was watching your face and I was watching Daniel's face. Both of you guys were like listening enraptured to what David was saying, what the stream was saying through David. Was there anything that was getting your attention? I'm just curious.
Definitely the last thing about appreciation being a higher vibration than love.
Mm.
I totally get that though. Like, it's like you were saying, there's certain things that you can't love everything, but you can appreciate everything. And there's things that people that you love do for you or say to you or make you feel, and you appreciate that. So I feel like that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. Ooh, interesting comment from Eva. I got to bring this on. She says, it's fascinating, your concept of appreciation. I lost my sense of smell 10 years ago in an accident, and now a tiny bit is coming back. So I'm going to try really appreciating the challenge. All right.
Appreciate the experience. Be more general around it and just appreciate the experience of having not had it and then maybe regaining it.
Yeah.
Because what you don't want to do, and we teach about this all the time. I'm sorry, Alex.
I said taste everything.
Yeah. But don't get into the vibration of need.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Get into the vibration of need. The universe is going to say, yes, you're right. You need it. Here's more need. Yes. It's oversimplification, but it really does work like that. The vibration of need sometimes chases things away.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No doubt about it. I just saw something. It was a special, some cooking show, it wasn't even a cooking show. It's more documentary in its style. And I don't remember what it was. Louise was watching it and I kind of saw a piece of it. But part of it was the story of a guy who was a pastry chef, and he had something happen where he lost his ability to taste. And like, oh my God, if you're a pastry chef, you gotta be able to taste. And I don't remember exactly how it worked out, but he did get his sense of taste back. And he had very much the experience you just described, David, how he came through with more appreciation for what he was tasting than what he had before he had lost it. You know, pretty amazing. This stuff is just endlessly fascinating, no doubt about that. So, so time for some plugs. You were going to talk earlier about, towards the end of the show, we're going to talk about some stuff coming up. So talk
me
about
or
stuff.
Alex.
You first, David. I'm not sure what Alex has got, but she'll come in next.
I got nothing.
I go on these shows and I channel and I'm all wonky afterward and I forget to plug our stuff. And
then I did want you to get yelled at. We don't want that.
No. There's two things. One is our new masterclass. It is called A New Operating System for Your Life. It's a very popular masterclass and you can take it on demand now and it's free. And you go to the streamofdavidmasterclass.com. So that's the streamofdavidmasterclass.com. It's right there on demand. It's 53 minutes. Set aside 53 minutes. Take that masterclass and you'll learn so much about Taya and in the application streams teachings. The other thing is that we have and since this is live, we have our LA workshop coming up. So we're actually doing our first in-person where you can come into a space with the stream and face to face and perhaps even get called up to sit with the stream and we're going to go for 5 hours and this is going to be in LA.
Whoa.
And we're calling these Ascension. I know, Ascension workshops. And we're doing 4 in 2022. We're doing LA, New York, London, and Sydney. So the LA workshop is on sale now. And that is on January 15th. It's at LAX airport, not in the airport, but near the airport. So if you're flying in, you can fly and you can go right there to the Sheraton. And that's where we are. The tickets are on sale now. And that's at thestreamofdavid.com/events. Or if you're in any of our Facebook groups on our email list, it'll be there as well. But you can get tickets to that and you can come be in person with the stream. And we're actually filming all of this and we're going to make a documentary about the stream over the next year in these 4 events. So we're going to have people all over the world sharing their experiences with the stream.
Very cool. When is the New York event? Because that's the one that's closest to me and Alex.
I believe it is April 23rd.
April 23rd. Okay. So
we have the dates, that we're going to be sharing. I think if you're on the email list, those dates went out on the email today.
Oh, okay. All right. I haven't
checked. It's the Saturday after Easter Sunday. I know that whatever Saturday that is in April.
By the way, if the masterclass that you described is anything like the boot camp, that's a major concept of what you're doing. You're learning to rewrite your operating system.
The masterclass is 53 minutes and boot camp's 12 weeks. So there's
there's a slight difference. Yeah. But I mean,
it's like that 53 minutes, you do it over and over and over again for 12 weeks with coaches and community and mentors and all of that stuff that we do in boot camp.
But still,
that's a special thing. And I think anybody that wants to manifest their way into boot camp can get in there. I just love that the stream is always like, hey, this is for everybody. Whether you get into boot camp or not, it's for everybody. And I do love that.
Which they emphasized during the stream session today too. So that
Yeah.
But that whole concept of rewriting the operating system, I mean, it's not like you are deliberately saying, okay, I'm going to rewrite my operating system, but the activities that you do in boot camp effectively do that.
Well, and that's why we, in all this, you know, we've expanded and we've added all these tools and things, but the 17 core modules are exactly the same. We're not changing them. We know they work. They work over and over and over again. Again, all walks of life, people all over the world. We know those 17 modules transform you. So that's why we're not ever going to change those.
And I'm very grateful that you stretched it out from 8 weeks to 12 weeks to do those 17 because I felt embarrassed. I took like 26 weeks.
Yeah, I was going to say, you took a long, you set a record, but that's okay.
Well, somebody's got to do it.
Yeah, Alex, I didn't really mind him talking about, you know, plugging it on his show every week for 26 weeks. So I'm like.
No, it's true.
Transparency here. Transparency. Yeah.
But the fact is, it does actually feel better. I mean, I know that was one of the main reasons you stretched it out to 12 weeks. It feels better when you don't feel the pressure. And there is a certain pressure whenever there's a, okay, we kind of expect you're going to take 8 weeks.
Yeah, well, we want you to build momentum, but we don't want you to feel like, oh, my God, I've got to get it done, because then you don't get deep enough. And it's all about going deep into the stuff, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And that does make a huge difference. And hello, Leslie. I've been seeing comments from you, too. Leslie's a recent graduate of Taiya Boot Camp. She's throwing up all – she throws up more – emoticons than anybody I've ever seen in my life. I mean,
she is the queen of those for sure.
She is. It's fabulous.
And where do you find all these? I don't even know where to find all
this. I don't know. I mean, it's like, maybe she collects them. I'm not sure. But, yeah, she's got good ones. No doubt about it.
She might be the one that invents, that creates all of those.
And right?
She's the supplier of emoji for the world.
I hadn't thought of that.
She's the Elon Musk of emoji.
Well, somebody's got to do it. Sure. Yeah. I could see Leslie doing that. That would actually make sense. Because she's like, she is so full of energy and enthusiasm. Actually, Alex, she kind of reminds me of you a little bit. Because you have that very strong level of high energy and enthusiasm. When you allow it to be shown, you've been kind of quiet today by comparison. Normally, you're a lot more boisterous. But,
well, when you bring people on that I want to listen to, what do you expect me to do?
I love it.
I can't listen and talk. That's not active listening.
Okay. Fair enough. I love it. So, and there's Bob. Hello, Bob. Also a Taiya boot camper. Got a lot of the Taiya people here today. That's really cool. Thank you guys for dropping by. Really great. But thank you, David. Thank you for making another visit. You got to make sure you get us onto your calendar at some point in the new year. Get the whole thing started again. Because we love it whenever you come by.
I love being here. I love the energy. It's so much fun. I love being here.
Oh, it's great when you come here. And I saw Stacy. Stacy, by all means, you've got the link. You got the Calendly link. So set up a time for yourself to come on. And anybody else who's interested, grab that link and join us. Be part of the Daily Dose of Happy, because we love it when we have so many people who just get excited every single day. I got to tell you, David, if your experience running boot camp is anything like my experience running LOA today, you must just be in absolute rapture every single day, because that's the way it feels for me.
I absolutely love what I do every single day of my life, even when it's stressful and there's a million things. Just stepping back and remembering that, oh, yeah, I used to, sell furniture. Used to feel, complaints about someone's sofa taking too long to come in all day long, or, stuff like that. Yeah. This is a lot better.
Mm-hmm. Talk about rewriting the operating system. I mean, you didn't just rewrite the operating system. You rewrote the entire retail outlet. I mean, just completely different.
Yeah.
So very good. Yeah. So that's good stuff. Let's see. As I mentioned, Andrew Kaplan's going to be here tomorrow. We also have guests coming up next week, and people are starting to fill in the calendar, which is pretty cool. So, I don't have that information at the tip of my tongue who's coming. I'm trying to look it up, but no, it's not coming quickly. So I'll just leave it at that. So just stay tuned to the podcast. We'll be announcing people as they're coming, giving you a little bit of a heads up as much as we can. All the people who showed up in the live stream, we really love all of your participation. Thank you very much. And, as we approach the end of the year and go into the holiday season, I want everybody to remember that while we here in conscious creator communities are finding all these wonderful ways to be part of that ascension that the stream is talking about, not everybody is in that same place. So I guess my message is find love for those people, find a way to appreciate them, find a way, because anything that we can do to help people, particularly during the holidays, which could be very, very difficult for people, anything we can do to just kind of lift their spirits, it's going to go a long, long way toward just making the whole thing a better experience for everybody. So with that thought in mind, thank you, David. Thank you, Alex. Thank you, Daniel. Thank you to our live streamers. And we will see you all next time here on LOA Today. Goodbye, everybody.